Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about how in the 21st century, one might wish that pain was an easily treated and known issue. It is not. Millions of doctor and emergency room visits stem from pain and addiction to pain medications rampant in the United States, which often takes root in attempts to manage unremitting discomfort. My guest this evening is Sarah Ann Shockley, who has personally lived with chronic pain since 2007. She offers fellow pain sufferers a compassionate and supportive guide for living with pain that can be used alongside their ongoing medical or therapeutic healing programs. She has written a book called The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And it is a pleasure to welcome Sarah Ann Shockley to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Sarah Ann Shockley.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here, Ellie.
Well, you know, I was wondering, how long have you been living with pain?
Well, it's been quite a while now. I was diagnosed with something called thoracic outlet syndrome in the fall of 2007. And that is a collapse between the collarbones and the first rib. And in that area, a large muscle has to go through there, a major artery, vein, and big nerve ganglia. So when that collapses, everything in there gets effectively crunched and squeezed, and it's incredibly painful and very debilitating. So essentially, overnight, my life stopped. I was in a great deal of pain. I could barely use my arms. It was hard to even walk or drive or do anything that required mobility with my upper body.
Oh, that was an amazing transfer, because prior to that, you were a healthy individual.
Absolutely. I was very active. I was at the time a single mom, working to take care of my son and then be with him in the afternoons and evenings. And I was also athletically active. I did martial arts and swimming and biking and all those things, and was considered myself very healthy and always ate right. And when something like this happens unexpectedly, feels like it comes out of nowhere, you always ask, why? Why me? Where did this come from? What am I supposed to do with this? What did I do wrong? And I think probably a lot of our listeners out there that are suffering with chronic pain right now might be asking themselves those questions. Why am I in this?
I think you're absolutely right. The big question is that we would all ask is, why me and why now?
Yes, exactly. And one of the things, and of course I went through years of dealing with that. The first year I was in pain, I just thought it was going to go away. So I didn't deal with the big questions yet, because everything goes away, right? You just think, I'm going to heal. It's going to get better. It's fine. Just live with it. Carry on. And then after about the first year, one of my doctors said, you know, Sarah, this isn't going away. In fact, it's often progressive, and we expect it will get worse, and we expect you'll have us for the rest of your life. And that was a blow. And I fell into a depression, you know, just what? I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life. And I spent some time kind of fighting it and working with, you know, trying every therapy I possibly could. But then I none of them worked, and most of them made things worse, actually. This is a very strange condition where just about everything you do in terms of movement actually makes it worse rather than better. So I was kind of left in a place of trying to fight off despair, but the only way I could get around that was just kind of put up with it and do this kind of stoic thing of acceptance, but it wasn't true acceptance. It was more like, okay, I'll just have to live with this and pretend it isn't here. And that went on for years. And honestly, that didn't help either. It helped. It was better than fighting it. And it brought down a little bit of the most acute symptoms because I had stopped fighting. But it also wasn't curing anything. It wasn't healing anything. I was still in tremendous pain after years and years of that. So eventually I came to a place where I realized I just can't live like this. I cannot live in a place where I'm just in constant pain and can barely do anything. And I sort of looked down the years and just them stretching out, thought, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life just sitting in my house in a lot of pain and not being able to be much of a parent and not being able to participate in life. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that have similar, different conditions, different things they're facing, but that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness and being cut off from life is so common to people in chronic pain. And you feel isolated and sad, and there's a lot of grieving that goes on and a lot of sense of loss.
And when did you decide to write the book?
Well, I started out not writing a book. I started out in this place of, what am I going to do? I eventually came to a place of, okay, I'm not going to just be stoic. That isn't working. I've got to do something. But what do you do when your body doesn't do anything? You know, so it was kind of like I felt like I was kind of left in this place of resourcelessness. And I thought, well, it's painful to do anything, but in the past I have used writing to write through my difficult emotions. And I thought, well, maybe I can't write very much. It was painful to hold a pen. It was painful to close my hand. It was painful for my neck wouldn't move up or down. But I thought, well, I can try, you know, writing little bits at a time. I really had no other way to meet it, let's say. Mm. So I started out, I took a spiral notebook and I went to a cafe and I sat and drank some chai tea and would sit there and write just maybe one or two sentences at a time. And I wasn't writing for other people. I started out writing absolutely for myself. And I started out by venting. And I just wrote about, I thought, I'm going to write this pain right out of my body. Mm. So I wrote how awful it is to live in pain. I wrote about how lonely I felt. I wrote about how I felt like no one could understand what I was going through, which feels very, very true when you're in pain. And often is true. It's often true that the people around you just don't get it because it's so all-encompassing. It's so pervasive, and it affects every aspect of your life and how you feel about yourself. And I wrote about how I didn't feel like I had a future anymore and all of the loss and all the sadness about being a parent, not being able to participate, not being able to do the things I wanted to do with my son in terms of activities and travel and all these dreams I'd had. And I wrote like that, and I might in a day write all of a paragraph. I'd have to write just small amounts and then get up and walk around and come back and maybe write another sentence, and maybe that would be it for the day. And I did that, and it took about 2 years to fill up two notebooks. And I just kept doing it because it's the only thing I had, and I noticed over time something felt better. I was still in a lot of pain. I wasn't all healed, and everything wasn't all better in that way, but something was moving. I could just sense I felt better. And I thought, I'm starting to relax a little bit around the pain, even though the pain's still here. Something about the way I am with it is shifting. And one of the most important things I did after writing and venting is I started also writing letters to pain. I thought, I'm just going to talk to pain directly. So I said, "Dear pain, what are you doing still in my body? Why are you here? I've been good, you know. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I'm eating right. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do to heal. Why am I not healing? Why are you still here? What is this about?
You don't deserve this."
Exactly. And that in itself, just the expression of that, and helped relieve. But also there was something I found out about connecting with pain. It was not something I really wanted to do. I didn't set out to do that. It's not something we're taught to do. We're taught to run from pain, to hide pain, to keep it hidden, to not talk about it. If you talk about it, you'll make it worse. And I was doing the exact opposite. I was going toward pain in the sense of, first, in a sort of belligerent way, you know, what are you doing here? And then I thought, well, maybe pain has something to say to me. So I started writing letters back from Payne to me, just as if I was sitting in Payne's seat.
You reversed roles with Payne.
I did.
You allowed Payne to talk to you.
I did.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Sarah Ann Shockley, who is the author of The Payne Companion. She contracted thoracic outlet syndrome and has lived with debilitating nerve pain ever since the fall of 2007. And she has been a columnist for the Payne News Network and is a regular contributor to the Mighty, a 1.5 million member online community for those living with chronic illness and pain. And so you found that by writing letters, you got the idea to reverse roles with pain, and
exactly.
You became pain and started writing from the point of view of the pain.
Exactly. And what I learned from that, it sounds kind of, maybe for some people that sounds a little strange, and it was, all of this was, out of desperation and experimentation. But I thought, instead of fighting pain and hating it, what if I did something completely opposite? Because nothing else is working. What if I kind of just listened to it? What if I let it express differently than just as this screaming pain? What if it had something to say, and that's why it was, sort of yelling all the time? What if I turned and said, okay, I'll listen? And in the and the letters back from Payne, of course, was me writing it. But in a sense, pain is us talking to ourselves. The pain is part of us speaking to us. I mean, it's in our bodies. It's us speaking to us. And I had been thinking of it more as an invader or a curse or a mistake or, something wrong. And I was surprised when pain, in a sense, spoke back to me that it was actually pretty gentle. And it said it had a purpose. And Part of what I needed to do was to kind of be different in my response to it.
Well, I learned from that.
Yes, please.
That was a very interesting learning that you did participate in. And
yes.
It's important because it sounds like when you were writing letters to the pain, the more you were confronting it, the tighter your body became.
Yes.
And also increased the intensity of the pain within. And by reversing roles with pain and allowing it to talk to you, it became a way of relaxing the body and going, I don't like it, but maybe I'm getting it.
That's absolutely right. And I would certainly not want to discourage anyone from expressing their negative feelings about pain. I think you might have to start there, start by ranting and start by saying, I hate this, I hate you. I would go ahead and do that. And get that out of the system. You don't want to stay there.
No.
Because if you stay there, it turns into resentment and bitterness and you're just living in a place that's stuck. And I think that's what happens.
And that's where the tightness of the body comes in as
well. Absolutely. And then you get more tension and more stress. And so it does have a physiological effect to do these things. It's emotional and it's mental, but it also has a direct physiological effect, absolutely, because your breathing shifts, you start to relax. The blood can flow more easily to the tissues to heal it. You feel less stressed out. You begin to feel like, oh, wait, maybe I can change this. And if there's any moment where things start to shift a little bit around pain, even the slightest bit, that is so hopeful. Because we often are in this place, those of us in chronic pain, where things aren't changing. In fact, they're getting worse. So if anything can make a little shift, then yes, more can shift and more can shift. And that brings back in hope, which is so important.
And we're going to talk more about that when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
In 2018, WDIY is celebrating 23 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. This evening, we're talking with the author of The Payne Companion, Sarah Ann Shockley, who has written a wonderful book called The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And you were just talking about how you had reversed roles with pain and had found an opening in your body because you acknowledged the pain rather than fight it. And
yes.
And that allowed you to relax. The body became relaxed, and you stopped fighting it, and you began to, in somehow or other, work with the pain. Tell
yes.
me some of the things that you created in order to help you work better with the pain once you accepted it and stopped fighting.
Well, I came up with a kind of a multi-leveled approach, which I think is really important for people in chronic pain, because we're working with the body, of course, but we're also working with our whole self, because when we're in pain for a long time, the whole self is affected, the whole life, everything. So there's a lot of difficult emotions that come with living with chronic pain, chronic physical pain. There are chronic emotions, in a sense. There's emotional states and raw emotions themselves, such as sadness and loss and loneliness and isolation. So it's really important to work on the emotional level as well as the physical level. And when we work with the emotions that come up with pain, chronic pain, we're also affecting the pain itself because they kind of become interlocked. So this fighting against pain and this being sort of enemies with it can create a lot of sense of hopelessness and helplessness and depression and anger and a lot of fear and terror and all kinds of things come up. So we have to look at both the way we perceive pain. We start with the idea that pain is an enemy and that we're going to fight it and we're going to kill it and get rid of it. And if that works, then that's great. You know, I'm talking to people where that has not worked. If, you know, in short-term pain, sometimes we just use some medications and we put our feet up for a little bit and we're done. Our sprained ankle has healed and we move on. But with chronic pain, things are not moving. And part of it is that the physical pain and the emotional pain kind of get interlocked and they sort of hold each other in place. And this resentment against pain holds it in place. So I work with methods of kind of getting in contact with pain in a sense as a possible ally rather than as an enemy. So certainly writing letters to pain is one of them, but also imagining pain as almost like a character. Like, what would pain look like? Like, if you imagine the pain that you have now in your physical body as sort of outside your body just for a moment, and you were looking at it, what would it look like?
Mm.
Would it be a person? Would it be a blob? Would it be a demon? Would it be, sort of surprisingly friendly looking? What does it look like? And kind of turning to look at your pain actually does something. This is all kind of, it may sound very, very strange for some people, but pain is asking for our attention. And usually the attention we give it is pretty negative, and, you know, we don't want to be around it, of course, because it's painful.
So what you're saying is that pain is looking for attention, but by giving it the negative attention, we are increasing the power of that pain in our bodies.
Well, that's what I've found to be true. And if we can, you know, and this is a difficult thing to do. It's not what we really want to do. It's not our intuitive response to pain.
Right.
Our intuitive response is to clamp down on it, to hold ourselves in, to contract. And of course that creates, as you're saying, more physiological responses, more pain. So a large part of this is learning how to relax around it and to allow it in a strange way. We're allowing it even more room and more space, not in a negative way, but in the sense of allowing pain to relax with us. So one of the things I work with a lot is breath and pain and awareness. So we put our awareness on our pain in from a positive standpoint rather than negative.
And
so we're aware of pain is important.
Give us an example by what you mean by working with our breath.
Well, when we our first response to pain is usually to hold the breath, we pull it in and we pull in tight. And I noticed when I was working with this for myself is I thought I would try to meditate. And so when I sat to meditate, trying to sit up straight and breathe deeply was incredibly painful for the condition I had. It actually made it much worse. And I thought, oh, I can't even meditate. So, but in the process of trying to meditate, and, you know, meditating has a lot to do with noticing the breath because you're supposed to breathe deeply and evenly, and that can be really hard for people in pain to just do that. I began to notice, however, how I was using the breath and how I couldn't breathe very well, and I was noticing that I held my breath a lot. And obviously I was breathing, or I wouldn't still be here, but I was holding it off, and when the pain would spike, I'd, you know, keep going to that held breath position. And when I was breathing, what became normal breath for me was very shallow. And it's part of not breathing well is that we're trying to hold the pain in place by not breathing into it almost. It's like if we breathe too deeply, in a sense we do. It can increase the pain, but it also feels like we don't want to let pain have that. You know, we were trying to almost push against it by holding the breath back or by almost making a wall against the pain by kind of holding our breath. So I decided to experiment with breathing differently and different breathing patterns, but also noticing that if I'm trying to not breathe with pain, what if I did the opposite?
Give us an example of what you changed.
Yes, I will. So I started out with imagining that, well, what if I kind of imagined myself next to pain in my body, so to speak, kind of like a small version of myself or just my awareness. And I have pain all over my body, so the part that was the most painful. And I just imagined kind of being with it differently and breathing kind of with it, sort of next to it. And that in itself relaxed me. Mm-hmm. And then I imagined, well, what if I let pain breathe? I mean, we don't want to do that. We don't want to give anything to pain. You don't give pain anything. It'll take over everything. But I thought, well, I've already tried everything else. And I imagined that pain was allowed to breathe. And this may sound very, very strange, but if you try it, you find that pain itself begins to relax a little bit. And you breathe with pain, and you allow pain to have a little more space, and it relaxes into the space around it, which seems like, again, so counterintuitive. Why would you give pain more space? But when you imagine it just kind of having more room and to breathe, it kind of starts to take the edge off. And it begins to relax as if pain itself were something that needs to breathe needs to have its own space.
Well, it sounds, Sarah, that what you're saying is by finding a way to acknowledge the pain and give it room to, quote, breathe, that takes the power away. In other words, the pain comes from almost relaxing and saying, I know you're there, and that's it, and breathe with me, and you're stopping the negativity in the body, which is decreasing the tension in your body, and
yes,
adding to the pain.
Yes, exactly. And we know that if the breath can move more freely, then the blood flows more freely, the oxygen moves more freely. There's a physiological response that's really beneficial, and it lowers the stress, and we relax more. So you can do these kind of creative visualizations and imaginations and working with awareness that actually directly affect the pain level. And if you can affect it at all, you can affect it more and more and more. And it begins to release it from that stuck place of not moving and shifts it from being an enemy to an ally in healing. And you begin to instead work with pain rather than against it. And that just seems so simple, but it's very profound. It's really huge. And it makes a massive difference. And then, of course, there's lots and lots of other things that could be done beyond that. But starting with being with the pain differently is a huge, hugely important place to start to shift that relationship into a positive one.
And if you do that, then you have less anger toward yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not hold yourself responsible, but you begin to connect with pain and accepting for what is and not being so very angry about not having what you want it to be.
Yes.
And by
yes.
letting go of that, you join
yeah.
forces with pain and you create an alliance in a way and allows the body to relax and gives pain its recognition almost depletes in some way the impact that pain has on your body.
Yes, that's extremely well said, and I like the word alliance that you used there because that's exactly what we're talking about. And part of it is absolutely letting go of the anger and resentment towards the self for being in pain. So a lot of us in pain have a lot of shame about that, and we feel mad at ourselves that we must have done something wrong, we must have made a mistake. And part of healing is to let go of that and just know that pain sometimes is part of the human journey. We all run into it at some point, emotional pain, physical pain. And I think our culture is not necessarily terribly supportive with healing pain because we're taught to avoid it, to get rid of it as quickly as possible, to not give it any space, and to push it away. And that's not always conducive to healing.
Now, as a matter of fact, it may even create the opposite.
Exactly.
Now, some people need pain medications to get through the day.
Yes.
Do you use them, or do you have a different philosophy?
I do not use them, but I'm not someone who has ever... I tend to go towards alternative healing paths and natural ways of dealing with things as much as I can anyway. But I also... my pain is nerve pain, which does not lend itself very well to help from pharmaceuticals anyway. I did try some, and they had pretty bad side effects. I want to be clear that I'm not against people using pain medications.
Sarah, do you have a website where people can get in touch with you?
Yes, I do. It's called www.thepaincompanion.com.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.